Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Figure It Out podcast. I'm Jonathan Gerhartz, the host and founder of FIO Media. So glad to have you listening here today. This episode, we had on Rachel Anthony, who is the founder and owner of Poolside Digital, a digital marketing agency that specializes in social media. She is the host of Poolside Podcast, as well as a blogger and content creator. She graduated from the University of Calgary in Canada with a BA in communications. Rachel is a spin class fanatic and will never say no to pizza. One of the better bios we've gotten so far. I wanted to thank Rachel for coming on. She is our second international guest from Calgary, Canada, so it's always nice to get that international perspective and talk to somebody who grew up and had different experiences than I did. Always love connecting with those types of people. Rachel and I talked about marketing. We talked about social media. We talked about having a localized strategy. So if you're a small business and part of your strategy is engaging in the community, we talked a lot about that and the benefits of it and things you can do to improve that. Talked a little bit about having a podcast, talked a little bit about how to market that podcast and how to grow an audience online. And I think Rachel gave a lot of great tips and was just a really cool person. So again, I wanted to thank Rachel for coming on and thank you for listening and really hope you enjoy this. Take care. You're listening to the Figure It Out podcast, produced by FIO Media. Hey, Rachel, how's it going? Thanks a lot for coming out today.
Good. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, sure thing. So kind of like the conversation we just got as we jumped on here, we're talking about finding people on social media. So basically, just for people who don't know, the way that I find my guests is kind of just searching through Instagram, like hashtags, searching through different pages and their followers to see, you know, people who are interested in business, people who are doing cool things. That's kind of how I came across you. Yeah, I know you said you kind of have a different strategy. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was interesting because, like I mentioned before, I also have a podcast and I usually find people like word of mouth, or if I have somebody to request or they have a suggestion for somebody else. And so I've never really thought about using like hashtags related to my podcast for it. So it was really interesting that that is how you found me. But usually when I find people, I have more of like a local podcast in my own city. And so I'll reach out to businesses that I've heard of, or I know people that own them. But it's, I feel like you'd get a much broader range of people if you use social media, which is ironic since I run a social media company that you think I would use social media to find people for the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes I forget that too. Like, you know, I'm doing social as well. I help a lot of businesses with social. And a lot of times I don't look directly to social to answer my questions or solve my problems. I think that's just that kind of just a mentality where we don't always think of it. It's always there, but we don't always think of it as an answer to our problems. But yeah, I'm glad that kind of you kind of find that to be interesting. How does the local thing kind of work? Do you get a lot of response sending out emails to local businesses, or do you do email or call, or how does that work?
Usually I do email. I avoid phone calls at all costs, yeah. Usually. But I have a blog, like on my other side of my business, I have a blog, and it started as a local thing. So I've kind of built my whole like brand and personal brand and blog off of local. So my podcast was easy to jump into because it was just like an extension of what I'd been doing for the blog. And so I could reach to the businesses that I knew from before. And then I'm involved with lots of things in my community. So it was easy. The first like 50 people were just like people that I knew that owned business that I could just like text. And then from there, it kind of snowballs, as I'm sure you know, that people start listening and then they know people that know people and they have a friend that has a business or they've started a business, and it kind of, it's been a lot easier in the last like couple months than it was in the beginning because I don't have to do as much pitching to people, mostly because in my city now people are gaining traction, which is good.
Excellent. Very cool. So you're around like 70 or so episodes now, is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I recorded 78 the other day. So I'm not sure how many of them are like published now, but I'm always keeping track of like just the recorded versions.
Right. And how long has that been going?
I started it in October of last year.
Wow. So 1 year, 70 episodes. Wow. A couple a week, I guess, most weeks.
Yeah. It started off as two a week. Like when I first started, like I said, I made the list of people that I knew and I was so excited and pumped on the idea that I was like, well, I can't just do one a week because then some of these people won't get to it by like, it'll be like a year. So then I was very ambitious and did two a week. And then that lasted until January. And then I was like, whoa, like this is a lot. I kind of ran out of people that I like were friends with. And so it was a lot more work to have two interviews a week. And so I went down to one a week. And then in the last like month, I started recording like an interview once a week and then just like a personal like opinion rant, my own experience episode once a week, which gets me back up to two episodes a week, but then it's not as much work because the second one is just like I can just record it whenever it works for me.
Right. Right. And how is your audience kind of receiving that personal rant type episode?
Better than I thought, which is surprising because I've had a lot of people, that was one of the like requests from the people that listened to me. They would like DM me or email me being like, oh, I want to hear more about like what you do and how you got there and your experience, where I'm the other way, where I just want to hear other people's stories. And so usually I use my own Instagram and I ask questions on it. And then the solo episodes are answering those questions. So at least like one person is getting something out of it, because that's what I'm always worried about, if people listen and then they got nothing out of the episode. So
yeah, well that's a great strategy. I tell, you know, some of the, not really my clients, but some people that I just talk to who might ask me questions like, oh, how do I do social? How do I get started or whatever? One of the main things I always tell them is like, find questions people are asking about your industry, company, whatever you do, right? And then just answer them on social media. It's probably the simplest way to do it. One, it's effective because there's a million questions out there, so you'll never run out of content, right? And two is because you're actually listening to exactly what your audience and needs, and then just like fulfilling that like immediately, right? So that's a really great strategy, definitely.
Exactly. When like you forget, it doesn't matter what industry and like, even like, let's say social media, because we're both in it, but we just assume that everyone knows everything that we know because it, like, you forget that you know more than like other people know. And like, I don't know much about other industries, but the people in those industries know and forget that they need to answer all of these questions. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You can share all of your knowledge and it might seem like you're being repetitive, but people who don't know it, it's new information to them and they can benefit from it.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. I find too, like, sometimes, yeah, like we kind of going off of what you were saying, people think just because of the internet, like that, oh, well, all that info is already out there. Like, I don't need to put it out as well. But unless somebody's like following somebody who's putting that out there or knows exactly what to search, sometimes you don't know what to search, where exactly to go. Yeah, it's out there, but like, are they finding it? One, or two, like, is it being thrown in their face on a daily basis? And I don't mean that in like a bad way where, you know, you're throwing content in someone's face, but, you know, generally half of the purpose of social media is just staying in front of people, right? If you stay in front of them long enough, eventually when they need your service, you're right there in front of them. There's a lot more to it than that, right? But that's kind of half the battle. So unless you're kind of doing that on a regular basis, people forget. And when they need that information, if it's not right there in front of them, they're not going to really be able to find it, right?
Totally. Well, then also you're building the trust then. So if you seem like valuable and you know what you're talking about, then like you said, down the road, if they need your service, then you seem like a viable option because you've built the trust that you actually know what you're talking about. Hopefully.
Right. Right. So you're running an agency called Poolside Digital. Tell me a little bit about that. Your brand, when you come right to your website, says something like, you know, do social media, like, by sitting by the pool or something like that. Is that, Is that, correct me if I'm wrong there, but what's kind of the idea behind that?
So, well, the tagline is "Live life by the pool." Right. I'm pretty sure is what it says. Which, when I initially started it, and I think I named it like 2 years ago was my like official naming of the business. It used to just like be me under my own name, and then for like tax purposes, my dad's an accountant, so he was like, "You need to have a name; it makes it easier." So then I didn't. There wasn't as much thought behind it as like maybe some other people's business names, but I work for myself and I enjoy that I can work from anywhere. And so it was kind of like it can go both ways. So I do your social media and your marketing so that you can be by the pool and not have to think about it. But then on the other side, I work from home and can work from the pool. So we all can live our lives how we want to live them is kind of the backstory behind it.
Nice.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's a great marketing strategy or not for a business, but it's the most genuine to my who I am. So those are the clients I want if they want to hire me, because we can all just go on vacation and work together.
That sounds pretty good to me. So I think it's a very effective strategy for sure.
And it's fun. So if you go to the website, it's like pools and it's bright colors and it easier branding that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So outside of your brand, kind of what exactly do you do? So if I'm a business owner, I'm super busy, I'd love to go on more vacations because I'm just up to my head managing my social media. How can you kind of change my life?
So it's evolved as social media has evolved. And I do other marketing, like digital marketing services, but social media is really what I love. And usually it's what people either don't know how to do or don't want to do or is like the most tedious. So that's kind of why I've latched onto strictly social media. But if you are a small business owner and you need help, usually people come to me if they need to run Instagram, obviously. So I do Instagram management, Facebook ads, Twitter, if I can't convince them to kill their Twitter. And that's the like majority of time spent on Instagram, and then Facebook ads, and then Twitter if they need be. Right. And Instagram has been interesting, the evolution that I mentioned, because when I first started doing this, I would just have the account, people would send me the photos, I would just post kind of thing. And then now that Instagram is much more visually appealing for brands and it's become like more of a lifestyle for all brands, I've also incorporated just content creation. So for most of my clients, I also take the photos, because the photos that they have, most of them are just from Google. Like most people, small businesses either can't afford it, or they just don't want to take the photos for their businesses. So I've also included that. So I'll take all of the photos that I use on Instagram, which makes my job easier, makes their page better. So that's the general overview of what I offer.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to dive into the weeds a little bit here. So if I'm, you know, company X or whatever, I have an Instagram with like three pictures that my, you know, nephew did for me, you know, 2 years ago when he was on, you know, summer break from college, right? Haven't posted a thing since. I come to you and I say, you know, I sell brake pads for cars. I need an Instagram. How do you get started? How do you create content for me? Let's say, yeah, how would you create content for my page and then go about like kind of posting it?
So first we would decide like how important your Instagram is to you and what the look that you're going for. So most of the time I ask my clients to send me accounts that they like, or they're like, oh, like I like this idea, or kind of like what they're doing, just so that I can see what kind of page they're on. And then I would ask how many times they want to post a week, because that is a huge decision for how much content you need. If it's going to be every day, well, then we need a lot more content than if it's like twice a week.
Of course.
And then if they are open to posting their own created content as well as curated content. So if we can repost other people's photos, or find like if you use unsplash.com or whatever for like free stock photos. So see how they feel about those types of content. And then we decide like how many photo shoots we like need. So if you're only doing two posts a week, then we could do like one photo shoot a month. If you're doing more, then maybe like two photo shoots. And then I would give them ideas either based on what they've showed me or just how I think you should display brake pads on your social media, and incorporate lifestyle. Because I think the biggest thing with Instagram right now is that you need an account that people want to follow, even if they don't need your service right now. So posting photos of just brake pads every day, like, nobody cares. Right. Nobody wants to see it unless they're literally looking for brake pads, like, at that second.
Right.
So I would incorporate, like, obviously cars is easy because you have brake pads. So you can talk about cars and showcase cars and, like, the people in cars and, like, in the city or in the country. And especially if you're specifically with his example with brake pads, because I run a dealership account, so it fits right in. But there's a ton of photos of vehicles on the internet, because, like, dealerships and, like, Jeep and Dodge and all of those, they produce great content that you can use and give credit for. So it's easy to, like, build your page up with, like, cool looking cars, and there's always people involved, and then it's easy for you to take your own content because most people have vehicles. Or you can go down to, like, the shop, wherever your shop is, you can go down there, incorporate photos of, like, your location and, like, people working on the brake pads, and then people going for coffee at the, like, coffee shop down the street. So that's kind of how I broaden their niche,
if that makes sense. Right. So, you know, if you will do photo shoots, right? If I wanted to have a bunch of pictures taken of my shop or my pads or whatever, right? You'll come down and take pictures, but then also potentially kind of just finding stuff on the internet and finding content that kind of goes along with what other people are doing. But again, like what you said, you know, you've got to make it interesting. I picked brake pads because it's one of the most boring things I could think of off the top of my head. How do you sell that on Instagram? How do you create content around that on Instagram when it's just super boring by nature? And I like what you said, right? You got to do things for people who aren't necessarily looking for a brake pad at that very instant.
Totally. And like we mentioned before, like, being knowledgeable and providing value to your audience as well. So you get all these people because they're, like, either they're in your city or they're following because of cars and everything, but then also having content, not every day, but it into your content calendar that it's, like, once every 5 posts or 7 posts or whatever that is educational about brake pads, so that some people should know, like, what are the signs that your brake pads need changing, or what's the difference between a brake pad, like, in winter months or summer months, or things like that that just people don't think about, I guess, like, just providing value so that if someone was like, oh, actually my car is making that weird sound, maybe I should take it in to get my brake pads checked or something. Like, provide the value and, like, the knowledge, but then also make it interesting for people to follow.
Gotcha. So, like, a mixture of, you know, once in a while, some education on the product, on what I'm doing, a mixture of, and like you said, lifestyle, right? Like, people who are using these products or similar products or involved in kind of the industry. What other elements would you say are necessary to, like, a successful Instagram account?
Specifically for, like, a business, I also like to include some sort of, like, people part of it. So either the people that work there, so a staff feature, and this is, you can make it fun or boring, but, like, a fun one is, like, you can even create a short little, like, video on your iPhone that, like, shows them working or shows them, like, answering questions and just, like, get to know the people that work there, since specifically, again, for this account, like, you are a brick and mortar, so you're working with people, you have customer service, so getting the audience to know who your people are. You could also feature customers that come in if they're, like, willing to take photos or whatever. That is what else I would also include. So yeah, people, and then what else? Sometimes it's fun to just include, like, if it's, like, National Coffee Day or, like, whatever, like, all the, like, fun ones to incorporate that into your content as well.
Right. Right. And what would you say is the purpose of those national holidays? You think it's just kind of align with trends, or, you know, how do those kind of benefit your account?
I think it just shows, first of all, that you're paying attention to, like, the rest of the culture, and some of it's more relevant than others. Like, you don't want to throw in something that's totally random off of your content, but if you can fit it in to your content, so, like, bring in pizza if it's, like, National Pizza Day or, like, whatever, like, you can kind of incorporate into the lifestyle part of it. And I think it's just to, like, lighten up on social media. I find maybe some people take social media a little bit too seriously, and, like, that content, especially if everyone's posting about it and using the hashtags, then it creates, like, more engagement for your post. So you're kind of just, like, riding the wave, which I think is really a bad thing on social media.
Sure. Yeah, no, that sounds good. So nice combination of different things. Kind of help my Instagram account kind of appeal to a vast variety of people who aren't necessarily looking for my product, but might just want to be entertained on a daily basis. Going to kind of keep me relevant and up to date with trends and what's kind of going on online at the time. And then too, just a nice, you know, here and there pieces to just keep my audience educated on what I do, make sure they know that, you know, I do sell brake pads at the end of the day. Don't forget that. Right. And here's why you might need me, or here's why we're the best. You know, a good mixture of that kind of keeps people on your page, but then also kind of lets them know what you do and makes them aware that you are selling something or you are providing a service.
Totally. And that's actually what I was just going to say as you were saying that, is that at the end of the day, you want people to buy your brake pads. Like, it doesn't matter how many followers you had, if you don't have any customers, then there's no point. So right. You do need to keep it like relevant to what you're doing, and creating all that content is really great, but then you still need to focus on, if you are like a brick and mortar, like your city or your area, kind of like keep your target market in mind as you're creating all this content, because you need people to buy your brake pads right. If you want to stay in business. So.
Right. So if, you know, I can go on, you know, I can go on like Facebook Insights, right, or Facebook Audience Insights, and kind of see, you know, this is one thing I do, right? I go on, let's say I'm working for an accountant and I want to know what people, you know, so his audience is business owners, right? And he wants to know what business owners in, you know, I'm from New Jersey, in New Jersey are interested in. So you can go on Facebook Audience Insights, right? It's a nice little tool. You can put in New Jersey, you can put in business owners, and it'll show you the top page likes and the top categories, right, that those people like on Facebook, right? So let's say I do that and I find that, you know, business owners in New Jersey really like, you know, basically what they do like is local news, local events. They like the concert hall down the street. They like the local government. They like the local police force, right? So there's some insights for you. You know, how can I take advantage of that information and use that as either content on my page or as kind of a guide to guide the content that I put out on my page?
Especially if it is like events or local or something, incorporating that like specifically for content. If you do photo shoots in and around the community, if there's events happening, if you go or you're promoting them, even like stories are great to just promote like local things that are happening, to show that you are involved in the community and that it's not just about your business. It's more about like the relationships that you're creating. If there's something that's happening, like, let's say, I was going to say the police force. I was like, I don't really know what happened in there, but if like the chief like got some award or something was happening, or they're supporting a local event, then you can go and either take like a photo with them or just put it on your social media. Or if it's Facebook, you could link it to like an article that's like about whatever's happening or the police force or local businesses or local news. Like, just show that you're relevant in the area, but again, keeping in mind obviously like the brand that you're building. So if you focus on events and news, then that's fine to have articles, especially if you, like, everyone needs brake pads, so you can hit a lot of different topics, but keep it in like your realm, I would say. Like, if you post about all of that, then all of a sudden don't go post about like what's happening in China or something, you know. Like, you want to just keep it so that people know what they can expect from your social media. And if it is local, to keep it local, and then you are in the community, and not throw in something random that would confuse your followers.
Right. Like, is that possible? Can those two things kind of live in different world, you know, in the same world rather? Like, if, you know, if we're doing kind of what we first talked about, we're putting up those educational posts, those awareness posts that we're still here and we sell brake pads and kind of some lifestyle stuff. Is it possible to mix in, you know, the community as well to kind of engage that audience more, or is that kind of going, is that now building too broad of a brand, and do we need to like stay focused and niche?
I think if you're showing up as your brand, so if you're actually in the community, like, show how you're participating. So like, if you set up a booth, or you like have a t-shirt, or things like that where like your business is involved in it, or if like there's something that's happening like down the street, to be like, oh, this is like a block away from us, and kind of like show that part of it. I think you can incorporate both sides of it. But yeah, like I said, you don't want it to get too random that it's like, well, why are you even talking about it? So I think if you can just tie it back to why you're posting about it and like who you're posting about. But then that would also be, like you said, to look at the insights and the target market that you have. So if you're targeting, say, like, I mean, everyone needs brake pads, but like if you're targeting like 30 to 55 year olds, then going to like a kid's like event or something isn't as relevant. Then you want to go to like events and talk about things that are relevant to like that age group as well. So then that's another way that you can keep it relevant to your audience. So at least then they're interested in it, because you're like, what would they be interested in our community? Because they need to buy brake pads.
Right.
So that's who you're marketing.
Right. You know, sometimes I guess the marketing strategy, right, goes beyond just the digital piece, right? I guess that's kind of what we're getting at here is, you know, you might recognize that we need to now create content of us in the community. And, you know, you could kind of fake it, I guess, right? You can kind of make it look like, but, you know, what's probably a better strategy, and it's always better to be genuine. And there's also additional kind of benefits that you get from actually going out in the community and engaging, right? That's actually a pretty good strategy. But it's a piece that I think not a lot of people think about. They think that they can just pay someone to go and do their social media, right? And you can put up pictures, and you can do it, right? And it can be done. What might be more effective is if you're going to brand yourself now, that's someone that's, you know, in the community and talks about community things, maybe you actually do go out in the community and film a day where you're kind of talking to people at a, you know, a local meetup or something like that, right? So I think, you know, it's important for people to recognize that sometimes your digital strategy goes further than just the internet, right? It also involves actual engagement, actual involvement in other activities that you want to brand yourself with.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not, like you said, it's not just posting photos on Instagram, even though that might be what it seems like. You do need to actually think about why you're posting and who you're posting for. And like you just said, making the relationship with your audience in real life is just as important as on the internet, especially if you are a local business and have like a brick and mortar that you are serving those people, then why would you only be on Instagram? You should really take that and bring it into real life as well.
Right. So you said you're kind of using that strategy as well, right? You know, you interviewed your first 50 podcast guests were local and stuff. So what other, you know, what benefit have you seen from kind of from that localized strategy?
Well, selfishly, I just get to like talk to people in real life and like meet more people and create like those relationships, which is what I really enjoy. But it also is just easier, I find, to have word of mouth. If you are out in the community and like I interview someone who owns this store, and then next door is like a coffee shop, and then now you're like stopping for coffee, and then you can meet those people, and like it just makes it easier to make like a more genuine connection, I think. And then you also are more relatable to your audience, I find. So if I'm talking about like the local fitness studio, if I've actually been, it's a lot easier to talk about than if I'm just like reading it off the internet.
Right. Sure thing. Yeah. I like the localized strategy. Definitely. I think, it's kind of a strategy that, you know, we kind of just touched on this, but not only do you show up there and then get to post that content, but at the same time, you're also meeting local people. You're experiencing the things that they're experiencing. Maybe while you're actually meeting with someone, they're telling you about problems that then you can kind of go and kind of air out to the community and see if they're also experiencing those problems. So it kind of gives you a twofold to be able to actually be there and experience it and meet people. But then also create content around those ideas at the same time.
Exactly. When I feel like now, especially because we spend so much time on social media, that if you do meet people in real life and you get to know them, you're more likely to go to their business or use their service rather than just like someone you're finding on the internet. So I think that's obviously a huge benefit to small businesses.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So yeah, definitely. So a couple other things, I guess, I wanted to touch on. How long have you been doing this agency so far?
So I officially launched my own company 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I worked for a friend who owned like a social media agency before that. And then I've always had just like side clients, I guess, for the last, it's been like 6 or 7 years, I think, since I started like running social media for other people. But it's been in the last like 2.5 years that I really, like, it's just been my own business.
Gotcha. And so what has that process kind of been like? And what parts of kind of running your business kind of do you like or dislike?
Well, it wasn't ever my intention to run my own business. So it just happened that way, that I, turns out I work better when I don't have a boss and I don't have someone like telling me what to do. And I also really hated going to an office and commuting. And my last job was at an ad agency like 3.5 years ago. And it was great. And we were doing like, I loved being at an agency, which is obviously why I kept myself as an agency. I liked having different clients and working on different projects. And I'm someone who just like gets bored of things. So I need to have a whole bunch of different things happening all at the same time. But I didn't like the way he was running his business. And then when I worked for my friend who was running her social media, I had different ideas for how I would run her business as well. And especially when I narrowed down onto just doing social media, there was no reason to not do it myself, since no one really has like 50 years experience doing social media over someone else. We're all kind of like at the same point. It just depends how much time and effort you put into like learning how to use it, but there's no specific skills that someone went to school for really to learn this. And so that was why I eventually just got all my own clients, and now I just do it all myself. The problem with running, not the problem, I guess, like the challenge and what I don't like sometimes about running other people's social media is that social media just never stops. It's always running. You always need new content. And so there's never really a day where I'm like, oh, we're just going to take like 4 days off. It's going to be fine. And there are like automatic schedulers and all of that. But I think it's just always in the back of my mind that things need to be posted and content needs to be created and just needs to be new and on top of everything. And then the other like challenge of working for myself is just having time management to really get things done and not waste time. And I'm pretty good about it. Like I've always, like I've said, I've always had side clients and things doing on the side. So I've been pretty good at like getting things done. But if you just have the whole day ahead of you, sometimes it's hard to like sit down for 6 hours to really get work done. But on the flip side, I like the flexibility and I like to be able to work from home and find my own clients and pick and choose the projects that I'm doing rather than have like someone else tell me what to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you're just kind of you're a leader, you're kind of a self-motivator. I can resonate with those as well. But you know, one thing that stuck out is you kind of mentioned, you know, you had ideas about the way you wanted to run kind of your friend's agency while you were working for her. And, you know, that, kind of led you down your own path. Is that something that, you think is kind of innate in all kind of entrepreneurs? They have this kind of always want to not necessarily be in charge, but have a lot of creative ideas that they want to voice and kind of, you know, really work on, really go. And like, you have an idea, you want to go achieve it, right? You want to go work on it.
Totally. And it's really hard to take like the passenger seat when you have a different, not even a better way, but just a different way that you would rather do it so that you have more control over what is happening. Especially when it comes to like customer service or timelines or just like personalities, I think can be interesting when you're like a customer facing business or a client facing business. So I think all entrepreneurs really have that extra drive that you're going to take the sacrifice of putting more effort into your business and more time and hours into working, but having the ability to then have all control over like what you're offering to clients and like the final product that you're giving to clients. Because that's something that I mean, it goes both ways, because if something goes wrong or it's not great, like, it's also your fault. But then you also have control to be like, these are all my ideas and I think this is the best way to do it. And if they're your client, then they probably at some point liked what you were doing. So you just have to like remember that what you're doing is kind of what they're hiring you for. Right. So yeah. So I think that is like an innate personality trait of entrepreneurs.
Right. Do you find that your ideas that you're coming up with are always, and the things that you kind of want to do in your business, are they always the best thing for your business? Are they always the thing that's going to help you grow the most? Or are sometimes, you know, kind of the things that are really driving you and moving you forward and that you have a lot of interest in, maybe won't push your business along exactly in the direction you know it probably should go, but it's also kind of you know, an itch you kind of need to scratch. Do you ever have that issue?
Oh, for sure. A lot of things. Well, and even like, even if you just do things for like free, or you do these like side projects that aren't necessarily going to grow your business, but are just something that you like to do or something that you're passionate about. Even just having a podcast, I feel, it's good obviously to talk about business and you're talking to different entrepreneurs and like you're learning, but might not necessarily relate to your business or growing your business, but it's more just something that's fun to do that you want to do. Doing things for free. I do a lot of those. If someone's just like, oh, like, do you mind like taking photos of me? I just really need Instagram content. I'm like, sure. Like, you can just grab a coffee. And it's more just for like the relationship part of it. I think that's actually where a lot of it goes, where it's more like not necessarily for my business, but it's more just because I work by myself. And so just getting together with people to do marketing or talk about social media or like talk about photography, is more beneficial than worrying about like the ROI on a meeting or project or whatever it is you're doing.
Right. Like it's kind of, you know, you're looking at it as, you know, what return do you get in terms of like kind of self-fulfillment, in terms of kind of what makes you happy. You know, dollars are great, right? You need money to run your business, to grow your business, to survive. But, you know, part of the freedom of being able to have your own company and kind of drive it in the way you want to drive it is that you can spend time doing things that aren't necessarily going to make you money, but might kind of provide you some other form of utility, right?
Totally. And like, I guess at the end of the day, it could be seen as like a business growth. So like you meet these people and like, maybe they don't need your service right now, but maybe they know somebody who knows somebody that like needs social media. Not that that's how I go into thinking about those things, but sometimes it just works out that way, that like this friend that you did a favor for has a like uncle who owns a business who needs social media. So then you get hired that way. But yeah, I'm like I've mentioned with the podcast and like just doing things in real life and being in the community, I like having that like in real life personal connection to people and like building those relationships, whether or not they're related to my business or not.
Right. So kind of going off that, but slightly, you know, different topic. Do you ever turn clients down? Someone that might come to you and need social media, would you ever say no to anyone like that?
Yeah. So I've said no to not a ton of people. There's been a few people that I've gone for meetings with, and I think it's the people that don't quite understand what social media is for, and that people get caught up a lot in numbers. Right. And I have a lot of people, surprisingly, that come to me and they're like, oh, I want to like grow my account to like 100,000 followers. I'm like, first of all, if I knew how to do that, I would have 100,000 followers. So that's not realistic. And I've had a couple people like want me to guarantee that they'll have like 10,000 followers by like in 6 months, and doing social media for just numbers, especially because everyone that I've ever talked to for social media is all small business, like local small businesses. So like I mentioned before, having 10,000 followers but no one like buy your product isn't useful. So the people that come to me looking for just followers and have no interest in like the engagement in the community and all the other stuff, usually I have to turn down and suggest they just go buy the followers then. If like that's what they're going for, then you should just buy your followers.
Right.
Because that'll get you like as much benefit that you're looking for. So those are usually the people that I don't want to work with, or I do try to meet with everyone in person or have a phone call at least to just see if I like them or not. Like, one of the benefits of working for yourself is if I don't like you, then I don't want to work with you. So yeah, there's been a handful I turned down, mostly just people that don't really understand what social media is used for.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I actually never kind of put two and two together. I definitely agree with you. I don't like people who are purely driven off numbers as well. There's a lot of data to be collected and analyzed in social media, but it's not all about the numbers. And I think there's a lot of hidden misconceptions, right? Like, you can look at somebody with 10,000 followers, but like you said, if they're not selling anything, or if they have, you know, one comment on every post or no comments on all their posts, you know, they're not really getting any engagement. People aren't really paying a lot of attention, right? So the real asset isn't necessarily followers. It's the attention you have. So if you have 10,000 and all 10,000 are liking and commenting on every one of your pictures, then you have a very engaged audience and you have a lot of attention. But if you have, you know, 10,000 and you know, only a couple comments, a little bit of engagement, right? You don't really have a lot of intention. That account really isn't worth much. So those numbers aren't necessarily that important, right? And I think you're right. You know, working with someone who's purely focused on those numbers, they're not going to give you the time you need to really grow the page. They're not going to have the patience or want to spend the money on, you know, doing things in the community that are actually going to provide people value, or, you know, doing this or doing that, that they actually need to do that might require additional time and resources, right? They don't have the patience for it. And I find it's very difficult, and even just to work with those clients and to please those clients, because they want results, you know, here, they want these results, but they don't want to do anything to get them there. So yeah, definitely a challenge. I would agree with you. That's probably the same type of client that I would end up turning down.
Totally. And yeah, you'd think that we've like moved past that now, since people like now use social media and like understand how Instagram and even like how the algorithm works, but lots of people don't still, surprisingly. So people are still caught up in the like, what's the word I'm looking for? I was going to say, there was a word that I was looking for. Vanity metrics. That's what I'm looking for. So that's what lots of people are caught up in, because it like looks impressive. But at the end of the day, you have to provide, like you said, value, the connection, the relationships to just get people to buy from your business. There was actually, I don't know what podcast I was listening to, but they talked about like you're 1,000 true fans, or you're like 1,000 true customers. And like, doesn't matter how many followers you have on social media, you're really aimed at like those 1,000 people that are the ones that actually interact from your business. And so you just think about those people and not really worry about anybody else. It's like, you don't need 10,000 followers. You only really need the like 1,000 true people that believe in what you're doing and support what you're doing.
Right. Right. And even, you know, maybe like even 10 or 20 people that are super engaged in what you do, read every one of your articles and tell their friends every time. That's super valuable, right? Compared to 100,000 robots that might just click your link, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely good information. I think it kind of brings it sort of full circle to where we started talking about, well, you know, you don't realize that not everybody knows everything about your industry, right? So it is important to kind of talk about and educate people on what you're doing. Not everybody really knows that, you know, number of followers isn't super important.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like slowly it's coming around, but again, like you said, I'm very involved in social media. I'm very involved with people that like know everything about social media. So we all understand it, but then you have to let people know who don't use social media that are paying for a service. Cause that's the other problem, is that people are paying for the service. So then they think that they can expect a certain ROI for their money. So it's showing them that social media is kind of a long-term game, and building that trust and building that connection to then have people engage with your business and your account and not necessarily just grow the numbers.
Right. So what would your, I know we kind of mentioned a couple already, but what would be your ideal kind of measurement or metric for, you know, gauging how well you've performed over a certain period of time?
I think like comments on a post, like genuine comments, not just like good pick or like those like bot ones, like actual comments. If you do have 10,000 followers, which I know is a little bit hypocritical to say, but if you do have a genuinely 10,000 followers and you can swipe up on your account, I like to see how many people have like swiped up to just like see more information or read your article, or just because I swipe up on tons of things just to like see what's happening, not necessarily buy something, but just to like, then you just gauge people's interest. And then I also really enjoy like the, specifically for Instagram, like on stories, like all those like polls and questions and stuff that you can put in stories. I find those are a really good way to gauge how engaged your audience are, like people who are actually answering and actually like clicking on like the poll. That's usually what I use to just like see how many people are paying attention to what you're doing.
Right. So if I was like your client, and you know, it's the end of our 3-month contract, I come to you and say, Rachel, you know, what have you done kind of for me over these 3 months? You know, why should I continue to pay you? Right. I don't know anything. I haven't been paying attention to what you've been doing, kind of, you know, what, let's say you got the results you were looking for, kind of, what would you tell me to kind of keep me on board?
So definitely like the engagement rate. So like, this is how many people have been watching your videos and have been commenting on your posts compared to like when we first started. This is the type of content that's doing the best. So usually once a month, specifically once a month, just for like the client reports, but you should really, if it's your business, and you should really be paying attention every time you post. But as an analytics report, I look to see what type of content is doing the best. Usually it's video. That's just what does the best all the time. But just like keep that in mind. Like sometimes quotes do better on certain pages. Sometimes, like most of the time, pictures of people do better, but just keeping track of that. So I would, at the end of 3 months, be like, this is your engagement rate. It's hopefully gone up, assuming it's gone up. This is the type of content that we should move forward with. Like, I think we should kill like this type of content because people aren't really interested. So like, let's focus on this and like vamp up your video. And then these are the type of stories that people are paying attention to. Or these are the questions that people have had most often through stories. This is what people are reacting to. That would be what I would, and then be like, going forward, you should focus on this. For the next 3 months, we should focus on like just always doing more video is always my suggestion, but doing it that way. Like, let's incorporate more people in your photos to showcase like the experience people are having at your business or service. Right. And then again, like, how can we be more involved in the community and get people that way is also another thing that I always am suggesting.
Gotcha. Yeah. I like how you kind of, you mentioned that, you know, you'll pull out kind of what's working best, kind of, here's what we've done and here's what worked and here's what hasn't worked. I think anyone that kind of doesn't like that, doesn't do that kind of stuff, you want to steer away from, right? Because it's almost a waste if you're kind of just throwing things out there and not really paying attention to what works or not. So that's really valuable insight, I think, for any business owner to have, is to know kind of what is working and what we need to continue investing in, continue doing well, even if you were to not, you know, you weren't able to get that engagement rate up over, you know, a certain amount of time. You know, if you have the information, insights to tell you, okay, well, this is why, right? If you can at least explain why, you know, we did all pictures over this 3-month period, we needed to do more video, and then we can expect the engagement rate to go up. You know, that at least you can provide that kind of information.
Totally. And yeah, and engagement rate is like, it is tricky to improve, especially if you are like a small business selling brake pads. Like, it can be a struggle to get people to comment. But then it's like, well, maybe we should adjust our captions. Like, maybe we should include more story or more questions, I mean, on the captions to prompt people to answer. Like, maybe our captions just aren't encouraging people to comment on them. Kind of that way. It's like, how else can we engage our audience to like, hopefully they'll ask questions or hopefully they'll comment. That's like another strategy to incorporate.
Right. All right. Well, I think it's a pretty good point to kind of wrap it up here. Very social media focused episode, but totally cool with that. You know, with this kind of format, we kind of just, you know, let it kind of naturally flow down the path. And, you know, I'm happy we kind of had a cool conversation about social media. I always learn a lot just kind of talking with, you know, other people in industry who are doing it on a daily basis. You know, you mentioned this earlier, right? You know, there's no classes really you can take. And even if you do take social media classes in college, by the time you get out, all that stuff has changed anyways, right? So the only way you really learn is kind of doing it every day and talking to people who are doing it every day. So I always find a lot of value out of talking to people like yourself who are in the trenches doing this stuff every day. Keeps some fresh ideas in my mind, and I hope, you know, the audience is kind of feeling the same way. Maybe they got some fresh ideas as well. So thanks so much, Rachel, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Sorry we didn't really talk about like the business side of it, but I feel like everyone, like you said, everyone can relate to social media. And I feel like if people that are listening that own their own business, then sometimes you can't afford to hire people to do social media. So you should know as much about it as you can.
Yeah, sure thing. So before you go, you maybe want to tell the audience where they can find you. And then like, if you have any events or anything going on, you want to just let them know.
Yeah. So my work website is poolsidedigital.ca because I'm in Canada. Mm-hmm. And my podcast, like we mentioned, is Poolside Podcast. And when you search it, it's the one with the pineapple graphic, not the girl sitting by the pool, because I don't know what that podcast is about, but it's not mine. And then on Instagram, my business Instagram is Poolside Digital. And then my personal Instagram is Almost Famous with 2 F's. So you can find me on there. If you have questions about social media, feel free to just DM me.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Rachel. Thanks again for coming on, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thank you.